Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So why was Paul doing what he was doing? Why was he putting up with having to die in order to do it? Was it for Paul? Oh, this is not self-centered, is it? This is not about making me a prize believer and, oh, look at me. Look how successful I am living the Christian life. This is all that I do is not for me at all. It's for you. Oh, that's a whole different ball game, isn't it? Wow, what a different idea and concept of what the Christian life is meant to be. All right? Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, in other words, the spirit of faith that inspired those words in the Old Testament, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Now, you know, you have this idea in some of these mystery movies. They'll be trying to solve them on TV, and they'll use that Latin expression. I can't remember the Latin expression, but it's who benefits. They'll be trying to figure out who's benefiting from this crime, whatever it is. Well, whose benefit was Paul seeking here? Whose benefit? Look at verse 15. All, not some, all this is for your benefit. Who are we living for? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Think about that. Focus on that a little bit. What are our lives being lived for? Even just, oh, I want to be a successful Christian. I want to be... Why? For whom? So that we can say, hey, look at me, or think highly of ourselves, or 1,001 ways in which self really kind of sits pretty close to the center. But Paul says, look at all that I'm going through. All this, every bit of it, is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. There was a scripture I tried to find. I couldn't find it before the service, but it was something to the effect where Paul said, who is my joy? What is my joy? You're my joy. You're the one I'm living for. I mean, my life is a waste if I can't help you and I can't bring you to a place of joy and freedom and experiencing all that Christ did for you. That's what my life is about. It's not about what happens to me. It's worth everything. We think it's worth everything to serve him, and we're thinking very individualistically. But Paul had a different perspective. It's worth everything for me to give whatever I have got so that I can help you. And my life is a failure if you don't succeed. Wow. What an amazing thing. Oh, well, that's just Paul. He's special. He's different. Is he? The body of Christ is many-membered. Yes, apostles were certainly part of it, very important part, but they weren't the whole of it. You know, we pointed out many times about the human body, and you get a healthy one. Every part of my body exists to serve every other part. My heart can't say, well, I'm doing my job, I'm beaten, and I'm get with the program here, you know. You guys straighten up. I'm doing my thing. Look at me. Every one of us has been brought into the kingdom to serve the others. Oh, you remember that word servant. I'm your servant. I didn't come here to be your master and be lifted up and thought, you know, somebody important. I came to be your servant. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus said, didn't he? You know, there was some debate and some questions raised about people's position in the kingdom. And Jesus said, look, the Gentiles, that's how they operate. Just to paraphrase, they lord it over you and call themselves your benefactors. Sounds like politics, doesn't it? But that's human nature. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. The one who wants to be great, how? Will be the servant of all. See, even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. Think about what he did at the Last Supper. After the Last Supper, he took off his outer garment, dressed like a servant, and began to go around with a basin of water and wash his disciples' feet. Now, we've emphasized a lot of different things, aspects of truth in that, and they all have a place. But that was basically Jesus taking the place of a servant. It was humility, but it was focused on their needs, their dirty feet, wherever you want to go with that. He took the place of a servant. He said, that's what I want you to be. And we think, oh, if I can just be a successful Christian, if I avoid sin and I'm a good person and I smile and I say I love you, then I'm good. But are we truly loving one another? You know, we talk about loving one another, and I believe in a measure that's something the Lord is building. I'm not trying to question that at all. But how deep is that? You know, is our love like His? Is He not seeking to make us like Him? Well, that raises the question, what is He like? And we see in His earthly ministry, He didn't come to be lauded as a king. And I mean, they did, give Him that triumphal entry into Jerusalem the week before He died, but that wasn't what it was about. He didn't come to be celebrated in that sense. He came to give Himself. It was all about us. That's incredible that He would look down at people, knowing us, knowing what we're really like when nobody's looking, and say, it's worth leaving heaven. It's worth everything I have to do to bring them to a place where they can be filled with my joy and my peace and have it forever and ever and ever. That's what it's about. Oh my, how much are we like that in our attitudes toward one another, in seeking for abilities, not so we can say, look at my gift, and I've got this gift, and I can perform miracles, and whatever it is, or I can teach, I can preach, oh God. There's a part of me that wanted to sit there and listen to somebody else tonight. This is sobering. I mean, I can't stand here and say, boy, I've got this. There isn't any of us that can. But do you think maybe the Lord wanted to take us down this road a little further and help us to understand a little bit deeper? This is Paul. This was not something that he got in out of a theology book. This is Paul talking about actual ministry, where it cost him everything, the threat of his life. Ultimately, he did die. We don't have a record of that in here, but he ultimately did. He was killed, like so many of them were. But he said, it doesn't matter whether I live or die. I'm the Lord's. That's my whole thing. I have laid down my whole life, not so I can be somebody or I can do something and feel good about it. It's so that you can be saved. That's why Jesus did what he did. He wasn't doing it for himself so he could say, hey, look at me, I'm sitting on a throne. It wasn't about being exalted. He certainly is, and God will take care of that part. Thank God for that he's exalted. He deserves it. But his motive, the reason he deserves it so much is because he didn't seek it. He laid down everything, including his life, in order to give you and me a hope that goes beyond this world. Oh, what an example for us. God, take away everything in us that would just be self-absorbed. I mean, even if it's just, how am I doing, Lord? And just all this focus upon me and my performance and trying to make sure I look okay to everybody else, so I'm not misbehaving too bad. And on and on and on it goes, where all of my focus is on me and how I'm feeling. Now, Paul certainly, by human standards, would have had every reason, going through what he's describing here, to have a pity party, to really focus, or he could say, yeah, I'm doing it, but oh, what a look at the sacrifice. Oh, just, you know, on he could be focused on that, couldn't he? It would have been easy one way or another to focus on that. He tells us about it, but not so we'll dwell on that. In fact, that's why he constantly says, I did this, this happened, but. Always he's shifting the focus to the result and to how God brought him through and it served a purpose. But oh, we get stuck in the mire of whatever's going on that we don't like. Here's Jesus trying to deliver us from self. Boy, it's getting quiet. Here's Jesus trying to deliver us from self, and we become totally self-absorbed with our misery because it isn't like we'd want it to be. Poor me. Or look at me, my noble suffering. Oh, aren't I wonderful? Do you get any of that sense from Paul here? No. God's taken him to a place that's amazing. It's no reason, I mean, it's no wonder that he could say the things he did. You know, follow my example. That wasn't pride. That was God's taken me some places I didn't really want to go. I didn't understand when they were happening. I didn't know about the wisdom, you know, the weakness part. But God taught me about that. Now I can tell you and I can be happy about it. What the lessons that God took Paul through to make him truly a servant. So now do you see the context that sets up what we emphasize at the end of this chapter? You know, we think very individualistically in this context typically. It's how we get through trials, where we keep our eyes, and all of that's true. But why? Why was he doing all of this? It wasn't for Paul. It was for the people to whom he had been sent. Every one of us has been sent to one another. We're not here to feather our own nest or anything that centers in self. I'm meant to present my body as part of that living sacrifice so that the Lord can actually live in me. You notice in that chapter, was that Romans 12? Where he talks about the joint sacrifice. Many bodies, one sacrifice. We present it to him. Then we let him change our minds. We need a bunch of changes.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685 Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.